I'm the CEO of Lexicata. If you haven't heard about us, we're basically a CRM and client intake software built exclusively for law firms. So my expertise is anything that's going to help you close those clients that are in the door. So what we're really going to focus on today is finding those efficiencies, operational efficiencies that you can really improve to figure out what's going wrong with the process, why are people maybe falling off, how to capture as many people as possible. So really what we're going to go through today is about creating the funnel. This exists in pretty much like any other industry in the world except for legal, right? Sales funnel. You've heard it before. It hasn't really been used in the legal industry, but I want to talk about creating a funnel. The funnel that we're going to talk about is basically the plastic casing around the funnel. Everyone's funnel is going to be different. So obviously don't take this, you know, completely without thinking about it for your own practice, because it's going to vary. Again, a commercial litigator that deals with five clients is going to be very different from a volume heavy commercial or a criminal practice versus a business formation practice where they just do business transactional work. So think about this as like the plastic casing. What constructs our funnel? What do we want it to look like? And always think as we're going through this, you always want to consistently adapt your funnel and figure out what's going on with it and improve it. So like I was saying, the plastic casing around the funnel is really your internal process and figuring out what works for you. Are you trying to get people through the system quickly? Are you trying to gather as much information as possible? Are you trying to make it easy on them? Do you need a lot of information? Like let's say a PI attorney is making a decision whether they want to take a case. They maybe really need to investigate really heavily and have a really in-depth consultation versus a criminal defense attorney is like, did you get a DUI? Yes. Okay, fine. Like that's all I need to know. I'm going to figure out the details later, but let's get you signed up. This is how I'm going to help you. So you need to figure out what works for you. Also from a marketing perspective, your funnel is going to vary depending on what city you're in, what state you're in, what bar your rules are, right? Where your rules lie. In DC, it's the only, as far as I know, it's the only bar in the US that allows the sharing of fees with non-lawyers, right? So you might have a different funnel set up here than you would in California, where you're not allowed to share legal fees with a corporation or an individual who doesn't have a license to practice law. So maybe you set things up a little bit different when it comes to referrals. So again, everything's different from everyone, and obviously you gotta keep these ethical rules in mind when creating your funnel. Also, conflict checks. Are you a practice that engages with issues with conflicts? Are you an estate planning firm that has a lot of people that might, you know, cross over into different bridges? Or are you a personal injury attorney where it really doesn't matter except for maybe opposing counsel or something like that? So again, those processes and what you have to gather is going to help establish what your internal processes are. And then also internally, right, when it comes to organization, you're talking about assigning roles and responsibilities. If you're a solo, it's pretty easy. You do the roles and responsibilities, right? You're your own person. But if you have a paralegal or a secretary or a receptionist or whatever it may be, do you have an actual protocol in place? And I'm not talking about, hey, Susie or Jim, answer the phone, and if it's a potential client, send it to me. That's just what a receptionist does. I'm talking about what do they ask them? What are the necessary questions that they're going to do? How are they going to vet or screen potential people? How long are they supposed to talk to them? Once you've scheduled a consultation, what happens? Do you send a confirmation email? Do you put them in the calendar? Whose calendar? All that kind of stuff is about setting up the funnel and what works. And then also, for everyone has different things, but evaluating the case for you. Just an example of how on Lexicata we do it, just to give you an idea of like the framing, the mindset that I'm in for creating the funnel, is you can basically create like a to-do list of things, right? An interactive checklist. So this, for mine, would be the funnel, right? First thing I do is I respond, then I schedule a consultation, then I send a thank you note, then I send an intake form, then I have another consultation over the phone, and then I get them to sign the engagement letter. That's the funnel that I've set up for this specific business formation case. And one thing to keep in mind is your funnel shouldn't necessarily be the same thing across the board for your whole practice. It should vary depending on what type of matter it is. For instance, if you're a general practice that does divorce and does DUIs and does business formation, you don't have the same process set up for those different clients. It's not a one-size-fits-all approach. All right, so now let's talk about jumping into the actual funnel, right? What's contained within the funnel? The first step of the funnel is that giant net, right? That net that you're casting, right? And a lot of people think about the funnel as in like where clients start to pull in from, right? So social media, that kind of stuff, they focus on that, but they don't focus on the ancillary things. Like I'm just getting a phone call or a referral email that we were talking about that falls between the cracks. Anything that leads to a potential client coming in the door and working with you is where the funnel starts. So again, that's why it's important to have that uniform brand. So if they talk to you on your phone and they see the virtual receptionist and they go to your website and are just super confused, like what's going on? That's why you want to set that up as a uniform brand so that first interaction matches the later interactions as well. the number one reason why someone decides to or not hire a lawyer is based on trust. The number way that you build trust is with interactions and getting to know the people. Again, first date. If a girl comes up to me on a first date and says, "Hi, Michael, nice to meet you. Let's get married." I'm like, "What the hell is going on? Let's interview. Let's like talk first. Let's get to know each other." It's the same thing that a lot of lawyers mistakenly do with their clients. The first thing that they do when they come in the office, "Tell me about your case. That's all I care about." You guys are counselors, not just attorneys. Get to know them a little bit. Build that relationship. Those are the things that are going to help long term, and those are going to things that are going to avoid those issues of the number one complaint that we talked about, lack of communication, because they're going to feel like they're more of your friend and a pal than just your client, right? So one of the things that you can do, and we'll talk about this with some of the one of the things that pop up when I show you some ways that you can research people. Go on Facebook. Go on LinkedIn. Go on Twitter. Go just Google their name and find out, right? If I talk to an attorney and they don't know what Lexicata is, you can be damn sure I'm not going to hire them because they don't care enough to research me. Talk to like figure out things, right? Even I'll do that all the time before I hop on like a sales call or talk to a client. I'll go look on their website. "Oh, you went to University of North Carolina. Wow, I'm an alumnus also, you know, like, when did you graduate? Okay, great." And it warms up the conversation. And I guarantee you, if we have some common connection or anything like that, they are like twice as likely to hire me or use my service. Again, building that personal connection is really big. The rule of seven. They say humans on average take 7 interactions with another individual before they begin to trust them and feel comfortable with them. And and when I say interaction, I'm not talking about shaking their hand, talking to them face to face. I'm talking about an email, a phone call, a website visit, whatever it is. So make sure that you have at least 7 touch points. When you schedule a consultation, send them a confirmation email. When they have their consultation coming up, send them a reminder email. That'll fit into that rule of 7. So you want to make sure you get that. And for those, raise your hand if anyone's like actively doing marketing online, even if it's like a couple $100 a month. So just you. Okay, so this is a big thing mainly for you. And also for people like you who, what's your name, by the way?
Dave.
So for Dave over here, who's getting his referrals via email and stuff like that, he wants to make sure that he responds quickly. Now, these studies were more done on like lead generation marketplaces. Like if you're, you know, go to a website and say, "I need a DJ or a gardener," or whatever it is, that was more for this, but it still applies. 35 to 50% of all leads are retained by the first responder. So if someone's coming to your website and submitting a lead and saying, "I need help with something," you can be damn sure that you're not the only lawyer that they're looking at. So if you're not the first person to reply to that inquiry through your website or the phone call, then you have, more likely than not, you're not going to be the person that they hire just because it's that first interaction, okay? They did a study. The ABA has a really interesting study. If you just Google ABA study on client intake, the statistics that they found were absolutely alarming. They said average firm in the United States takes 3 days to respond to a voicemail. 3 days. All right? So while you guys are thinking, "Oh, this is kind of like dumbed down material," no, like everyone sucks, okay? So if you can do a little bit better than sucking, you'll have a 10 times more likely chance of retaining them. 3 days to respond to a voicemail. Someone calls you saying, "I want to pay you to do something for me." You shouldn't take 3 days to respond to them. You should take their money as soon as possible. All right, same thing with like the how quickly you respond. 100 times, and that's a real statistics, Harvard Business Review, 100 times better chance of retaining a client if you respond within 5 minutes versus 30 minutes. And again, these are more of the marketplace things, so they're probably getting hunted by multiple people. But again, same concept holds true of you're not the only person that they're submitting their information through your website or asking for a referral. They're probably asking other people. Another big thing is managing expectations, okay? This is something that I think lawyers are pretty poor at. Discussing what the process is going to be from step one. Okay, great. Now that we got you retained, this is what's gonna happen next. We're gonna file this. That's gonna take about 3 months. Then you do this. Make a spreadsheet or a little PDF one time. It'll take you maybe 10 minutes to develop, right? For different matters within your practice. Say, okay, now that you're signed up, here's a deliverable. Here's a sheet. Send it to them, email it to them, give them a piece of paper, it doesn't matter. Now they're not going to bug you all the time and be like, "What's happening? I haven't heard from you in 2 months." Well, I told you, you probably wouldn't hear from me every month because nothing's happening, so don't worry, everything's fine. So that's a big thing is managing expectations and, you know, avoiding those angry emails. There's also a really strong need to collect accurate information. I told you that personal injury attorney story. You want to make sure you're collecting the right information because you might file the wrong case. You might have an issue down the road when they're lying on the stand. Whatever it may be, collect the right information and know what information needs to be collected up front. Again, avoiding malpractice, avoiding bad clients, which is one of the worst things, right? A bad client will take you 10 times more effort than a good client. We've all been there, and we're all shaking our head like, oh, that person, right? Same thing, right? Avoiding bad clients. And if you really get the right information up front and you know what's important, and you probably do in your head, but sometimes you forget, sometimes you get off track with the consultation, having an outline to go through will really help. And mainly avoiding miscommunication, right? Again, managing expectations, setting that up. Also find a balance. I told you, right? So there's one end of the spectrum, which is I'm a DUI lawyer. You got a DUI. Great. Sign on the dotted line. That's one extreme. The other extreme is bankruptcy, which actually that was my first job, was working for the DOJ at the US trustee. When I look at what these bankruptcy lawyers would force their clients to do, they would literally send them a 20-page PDF where it was like doing calculus. It was like, if you answered 7A, yes, skip to 13B. It's like filling out your taxes. You're like, I hate this. This is terrible. This is a horrible experience. Find that balance. How much do you really need before they get retained, and how much do you need after, right? And make it easy on them to collect that information. Also, again, it disrupts the building of rapport. That's like the biggest way that you can kind of lose that friendship. And again, think like a startup. A lot of law firms think like law firms. The biggest disservice I think that law schools do, and I think anyone in the industry will agree, is they don't teach anything about business. Nobody think we are lawyers who practice law that happen to run a business, right? Rather, we are business people that run a legal practice, right? Think like a startup. How can you scale? If I need to hire 3 people next week, will I be able to do the same things I've been doing today next week, or will I have to change everything completely and start from scratch? Also, think about repeatability, right? The ability to not invest, right? You call what they call economies of scale. Not having to invest the same amount of resources for one client as you do for 10. Find out a process that's going to work that's going to save you time. One of the ways to really streamline automation in your practice, and I know automation is a scary word because it feels like we lose control. What I always say is streamline, don't automate, right? We still want that personal element. People still come to lawyers because they want to build that trust, and you want that interaction and relationship with the people. So for instance, if you build a form on Lexicata, you can completely customize it. And in addition to that, you'll be able to basically have that auto input into the system for you. So you won't have to do data entry yourself. Lexicata is not the only tool that does that. I showed you on the previous screen, Google Forms through like Zapier and all these tools that probably guys haven't heard of. Zapier is one that you should look at if you are using technology that will basically plug other technologies together. But you want to make sure that the client can do some of the work for you. They're already filling out these forms. They might as well do the data entry for you because it's no skin off their back. But make sure that they can fill it on their phone, tablet, mobile enabled. I think last year we just in the US passed the number or the percentage of traffic to mobile versus desktop. It's now more than 50% of all website visits or hits are now a mobile device. So if you send your client a PDF that I have to wait to go home and print and download, even if it's a fillable PDF, they can't do it. I'm on my phone all the time. I want to be able to fill it out online. These are super easy to do. Find a way that you can do a form builder. Google Forms has them free. Lexicata, obviously, we're a paid service. You can use this. There's tons of options out there. Form tool, a Wufoo, W-U-F-O-O. But you want to find one that's really easy to use. Don't make them create a username or password to do it. Just make it really easy to submit information. So that's an easy way to streamline information. And you'll see it auto-populated all this information in the system for you, so you don't have to spend your time doing data entry. The last part of the funnel within the actual part of before we enter the case is going to be the retention process, right? Sending out your RFPs, your service proposals, your engagement letters, the attorney-client relationship, processing the payment. LawPay, they're like the number one payment processor for legal. If you haven't seen them, they're in the lobby. I don't work for them. I don't get paid for them. I should, but they're great. You want to make it easy on the client. Again, my lawyer, the one who wanted me, sent a tech company a PDF and asked me to send a $3,000 check in the mail. Like, what are you talking about? So I went to another lawyer who allowed me to pay with credit card and allowed me to sign online, right? So again, making the process easy and seamless is going to make less people fall between the cracks. We had one of our firms who's writing a case study from us. This was the number one place that's changed their conversion rate. They're a tax firm in San Diego, and they basically were doing $20,000 a month. They were a 3-person firm. $20,000 a month in revenue is what they were doing. The only thing they started doing was e-signatures. The only thing. They didn't spend money on marketing, didn't change the process. The only difference is rather than sending a PDF and waiting and then maybe not getting it back and sending an e-signature, not only did their process go from an average of 3 days to retention to less than 1, but they went from their revenue within 3 months. I'm not joking. $20,000 to $90,000 in revenue. Overnight, doing nothing but e-signature. You know why? Because nobody was falling between the cracks. Nobody was like, I got cold feet. I don't know if I can afford this. You get them while they're hot. You make the sale while you can, making it easy. Literally, 3X. That's why you don't have to spend money on marketing. You just need to do a better job with your funnels. Make it as easy as humanly possible. Clearly explain all provisions of the contract. That's something that a lot of times lawyers, we're counselors, but we don't counsel our own clients on engagement letters, right? In some states, you're supposed to encourage them to find another counsel to sign another engagement letter. It's like Inception. I don't know how that would even work, because then you have to sign an engagement letter for another attorney, and then you have to get a call. It's crazy. But anyways, clearly explain provisions. I've gotten screwed. I'm a lawyer. I've gotten screwed on some provisions of a contract where I didn't think I was going to get billed for a certain thing, and they were like, well, you see over here, you allowed us to go to of counsel. I was like, well, you couldn't explain a part of the contract that you drafted, so that's why you talked to them. Why is that my problem? So clearly explain provisions, again, managing expectations. And again, biggest thing that I'll say is going to be the biggest difference between getting those angry calls from your clients and not, managing expectations for the future. Clearly lay out what the system, what the process, what the timeline is going to look like. I just was issued a patent, 3-year process. The guys were there, I did Kanabi Martin. They were amazing. They said, this is going to be the process. They sent me a document, the next 3 years, what your life is going to look like, right? And at the end, it had a devil or whatever. But it was great at explaining the process and really making sure I knew what was going on, so I didn't go after them, everyone. So perform, analyze, iterate, improve, right? So those you should put those on your wall. Every day you walk into your office, those words should be on your wall. How can I constantly change, adapt, and improve to become a better law firm, a better counselor, a better business, right? Leverage data. If you guys aren't using technology, that's fine, but you're missing out on a lot of important statistics. For instance, I had a law firm call me last week that said, Michael, you saved my life. I said, why? They go, I haven't done anything different, but I have 30% increase in my revenue this month to last month. I said, well, what'd you do? He goes, well, I was looking at your statistics on your dashboard and I noticed I have 3 practice areas, divorce or family, estate planning, and criminal. He goes, my divorce clients, I thought were good clients. I have a 4% conversion rate on those clients. So I'm giving tons of free consultations away that aren't converting. Whereas my criminal and my estate planning practice, those I have like a 30% conversion rate. So you know what I did? I stopped taking consultations for divorce and I really boost my revenue because I was able to focus on the clients that were converting. Don't underestimate how powerful data is. And I'm not talking about like, you know, Watson, IBM, crazy statistics. I'm talking about what percentage of clients hire you for this practice area. Get feedback. That's also something. NPS, Net Promoter Score. Any big company is going to tell you what percentage of people were satisfied with their service, right? The JD Power and Associates, like, you know, top service provider. Ask your clients. Don't be afraid. How did you enjoy the experience? It was great. Don't lie to me. What could we have done better? Well, I would have loved if you did that. Listen to them, talk to them, right? We're so busy taking information on a legal case that we forget to ask them questions that actually matter. How can we improve for the future? And again, act like a startup, not a law firm. We got a minute or two left. Last tools for analyzing your data. MailChimp is a great way. You'll see open rates on emails, what percentage of people clicked to your blog and viewed your blog and all that kind of stuff. Clio has great metrics when not on intake, but on actually like your billable hours, what percentage of your receivables are actually coming in versus our accounts payable. Google Analytics is great if you guys are doing advertising. It's a great way to track on your website what percentage of people actually submit that contact form versus don't. Maybe try changing it around. Interesting stat to end with is basically they did a study. 4 fields on a form versus 11 fields, meaning like name, phone number, email, what is this regarding versus like what county were you arrested in? What was your BAC? There was 170% decline on submission rates of those forms, 4 fields versus 11. So again, removing those barriers will not only make them happier, but more likely to enter that funnel. And then once they're in the funnel, you can start messing around with them. This is just an example of the dashboard. And the last thing I'll leave you with is referral nurturing. Make sure that you guys are really good with your referrals because that's your bread and butter. Send them gift baskets. Send them thank you notes. Make sure that you're appreciative. You don't know how many times I've sent referrals to lawyers and they never sent me anything, never told me anything, never even told me thank you, let alone paid me a referral fee. You know what? Those people never got a referral ever again. So conclusion, build your funnel, analyze your existing funnel, figure out what's going wrong, and iterate it. Always, always, always be iterating. And last thing I'll leave you with, and then we're done, is Google, head of Google, Gmail, had an awesome interview on NPR, and he said, don't look at how Google can help you do what you're already doing, just better, look at how Google can open your eyes to things you never thought were possible. So don't just look at technology of, I'm gonna do what I've always done, but I'm just gonna use technology to do it, versus how can I iterate and improve based on what the technology is in place.